where did this idea come from?
I was visiting Ari in New York, and we were hanging out on his rooftop, and he asked me what was going on with Detroit right now. I think for about 2 hours, I was explaining to him what was happening here, and we just laughed about it and how sort of tragically comic everything that's been happening here the past year has been. It just felt so good to, like, laugh about it as opposed to, like, cry about it, that it was just very energizing.
And then
why I wanted to make it.
But then at what point did you say, like, wow, this feels really good to laugh about it. Let's put together regular episodes in which we do that.
We came up with this idea of, what if we set up a Kickstarter for Detroit? Because that's what it needs. It needs all this money. So then right there we just said, okay, let's write it. We wrote our first video, that Kickstarter video, right there and then.
And for those who haven't seen the Kickstarter video, I'm assuming this the one that you're talking about is the one in which a really sweet, earnest, young white woman comes on and asks for $50 million for Detroit. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, and I love how all reporters have foregone her name, which she says right at the beginning.
I've totally forgotten.
And have chosen to always identify her as earnest young white girl. Her name in the video is Jessica Martin.
Okay, all right, Jessica Martin, but she is also...
But her real name is Jennifer Prochet.
Okay, so you've got this $3,000 startup money. Tell me a little bit about, let's break it into three parts. The first one is sort of this well-meaning NGO, and then the second one, you guys nail the newscast voice about the pop-ups. And then the third one is the mayoral campaign. Why those three issues? Tell me why you was like, these are the three things we got to put in the first episode.
You know, I think probably the hardest part about making those final scripts were not being able to include everything, because Detroit is just so ripe right now for satire. And like, even after we released them, I was like, oh, I really wish we could have commented on this part also. But so we ended up dividing each episode into a theme, and the first one is the pop-up, because rarely does it happen that our political system mirrors our cultural system. So right now, there's tons of pop-ups in terms of shopping and restaurants and art spaces and whatnot, but we have this awesome mirror in our government, which is like, hey, we have pop-up officials and put democracy temporarily on hold. So that's sort of this connecting thread through the first episode, that, you know, the mayoral candidate, you know, he's really reacting to this idea that there's no democratic government in the city, so what is really a mayor going to do with no actual, you know, mandate?
My favorite line, the second time I went through, I was listening for, you know, okay, what's the bite that we're going to use on air from this? And it's got to be tea time. I just loved that one so much. 4 o'clock, tea time. That was easily our bite. But I want to, so let me ask like the deep Terry Gross question about this here, which is that there is frustrated love here, unless I'm totally wrong about that, that it is people who care a lot about this city and are trying to do things as well, making this video about people who care about the city and are trying to do things as well. But it's mocking. And I'm wondering how you kind of go about finding that right balance.
Well, I guess I would ask, was it the right balance? Because that's my fear, you know, overall fear is like, as a member of the community for years and someone who makes films with community members here, and, you know, I don't really leave the city very much, is, yeah, I'm a little nervous because, you know, we even put ourselves up, you know, there's self-mockery. So I feel like for me, one thing is like, you just have to put everyone on the table. You can't just serve up the hipsters. You gotta go after everyone equally. I'm not targeting anyone in particular. I'm targeting the entire city or entire concept of the city. Which is baffling.
What do you want the hipsters to take away from that first scene? Is that the one that's self-mocking?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if it's necessarily like hipster mocking. I mean, just the concept, right, of saving Detroit. Like, that's an amazing concept, because when people talk about it, generally they're not talking about saving they're talking about reinventing or, you know, redeveloping mostly. So just, you know, who are you saving? What are you saving? Who are you saving from? You know, and who are you? And so, like, all these ideas that just get wrapped into earnestness and, like, are sort of washed over because people are genuine and sincere and, like, truly do want to do what they deem as positive change, it's not defined. And I haven't met anyone yet who can, like, very decisively define what Detroit needs, how you're going to do it, and, like, who is it going to benefit in the end.
So once we've seen it, what are we supposed to do? Do you just want people to think differently or just have a little more self-awareness? What's the goal?
I'd love for people to laugh and also just kind of be aware of what's happening around them when somebody says that they're trying to destroy the city, or when they hear people that say, oh, Detroit is like a blank slate. I can come in. We can do whatever we want. People live there. There's community, and they need to be aware of the fact that it is not a blank slate, and it is not a blank city. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's part of it, and I think a lot of it came out when I was visiting you in New York also, and people are coming up to me being like, oh, you're from Detroit? I love Detroit. And I'm like, yeah? Have you ever been? And they're like, no, but it sounds so awesome. Like, I hear you can buy a house for $500, and, like, there's just people, you know. I'm like, yeah, you can buy, like, a burnt-out shell that's actually a liability more than an asset for $500, but, you know, this is a difficult city to live in unless, you know, you're rolling in it. But in regards to what I want people to get out of it, I mean, laughter is this great catharsis, and my work has sort of led me to think about media and art and its role in what's happening in Detroit a little differently, where before I was doing a lot of documentary. It seems like we have a much greater need of actually dealing, like really having catharsis for the transitions that are happening here, like not necessarily opposing or protesting or like actually knowing where to put your energy, because so there's that, you get to a certain point where we need to ease the transition in a community spirit, like in a spiritual way even, because it's not necessarily looking like it's going to end up so good economically or, you know, holistically. But the next episode is actually called Detroit Diamond City.
Yeah, give us a preview. So we've seen these three things sent up. What's next? What do you guys want to do?
Ari, can you do like a trailer? A trailer voiceover? Can you do this?
Right, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Next week on Detroit Blank City.
Yeah. Next week on Detroit Blank City. My car got broken into, but nothing got stolen. They took all the glass. Why? A city in broken shards. What to do? How to make opportunity out of glass. Detroit Diamond. That was the worst promo ever.
It was a little short, but the voice was really good.
And that was just atrocious. I just woke up. I can't hear anything. Can I blame it on that?
Yeah.
I can't hear anything.
That's absolutely fine. Guys, thank you so much.
Awesome.
Good luck. I can't wait for the next episode.